All right, take your Bible, if you will, and let's go to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 1, if you would. 1 Kings chapter 1. Tonight, we're going to read a portion of this chapter and preach to you just a little bit. And 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. Also, obviously, pray for Brother Oftedal. You don't see him here. That means he can't come, all right? So he's not feeling well. Pray for him and ask the Lord to take care of him tonight. All right, you're there in 1 Kings chapter 1. If you will, look at verse 1. The Bible said, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. Wherefore his servant said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and found Abishag a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, Why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him." Now, David was king. He was well along in years, not really far from death, when we open here in the book of 1 Kings. And, you know, there's a lot of great things to say about David. David, for instance, was a great king. Great king, great leader for his nation. He was a good musician. He was able to play and soothe the nerves of Saul. He was a good musician. He was a strong warrior and led his armies to victory after victory. He was a faithful shepherd, even as a young person, as a child. He was a talented writer, blessed by God, and allowed to write many of the Psalms that we have today. But in all of his ability and all of his greatness, he failed in one place. He wasn't a good parent. He wasn't a good parent. You said, "Preacher, why do you say a thing like that?" Well, he had one son who raped his sister. He had another son that then killed the son, his brother, all right, that had done that to his sister. Then one of his sons decided to take away his kingdom from him and led a rebellion in that response. And man, David had to flee for his life. That was his own child that did that. Then we come here to Adonijah. And here's Adonijah that decides, hey, I'm going to plot to get the throne. I know Dad's weak now. He's the king, but he's weak. He can no longer really resist. And boy, when my brother led the rebellion, he could run. He said he can't even flee for his life now. So he said, I will just take the throne from him. I'm just telling you, if your kids will treat you like that, you haven't done a good job as a parent. You just have not done a good job as a parent whatsoever. Look, kids don't turn out wrong. They don't turn out like this by accident. Okay? They don't turn out like this by accident. A lot of the trouble that David had from his children lay at his own feet. It was his own fault. You said, why do you say that? Because of what he says in verse 6. Because of what it says in verse 6. We'll get there in just a moment, all right? Now, I want to say this to you. I believe with all my heart it is still possible to raise kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't want you to get the idea. Now, I believe raising kids is the hardest job you'll ever have. And I believe in the day we live, I believe that job gets tougher. It gets tougher all the time. But it's still possible to do it. But it won't happen by accident. You said, preacher, look around. There's not a lot of folks in our church that have children. But there's a lot of folks in our church that got grandkids. You can participate in their raising. Maybe even great grandchildren. You can be involved in it, all right? If you want to raise a rebel, I believe there's some steps that are right here. Four steps. We'll look at them tonight, all right? I want to preach on how to raise a rebel. You say, well, don't think we need advice. Well, maybe if you get that and understand what it takes to raise one, you'll decide, I don't want to raise one. I don't want to raise one. And, when I start a message like this, I realize that oftentimes there's going to be people that'll push back on it and say, preacher, you don't know about my situation. No, I don't, but I know what the Word of God says. I know what the Word of God says, and I know what I've seen with my own eyes through the years. I have paid attention. Now, I don't submit to you and claim to be the greatest child raiser in the world, all right? But at least neither one of my kiddos have decided to take the throne away from me, all right? You say, well, I didn't know you were king. Well, I am. I have this very small area that I rule, all right? But you say, so how do we do it? Number one, you want to raise a rebel, never displease them. Never displease them. That's what verse 6. His father had not displeased him at any time. Notice, he didn't even go so far as to say, why hast thou done so? It never displeased his child. Never. When something had happened, his dad didn't even say, why'd you do that? Now, I won't ask if there's a parent in here that's never said to their child, why did you do that? I've said it to a lot of kids that aren't my kids, all right? Matter of fact, I say it a lot nowadays, you know. Why did you do that? What was the reason? It's important to do it. Hey, you're doing your child a terrible injustice if you decide I don't ever want to displease them. You're doing them a terrible injustice. If you're a child in here and you say, I ain't a child, I'm a teenager. Well, bless your heart, you're lucky you're still a child, all right? And enjoy it as long as you can, because the day will come you'll wish you could be again. And but you say, well, what do you mean never be displeased? Well, never do anything that'll upset their apple cart, all right? I mean, David, the Bible said he had never done anything to displease him. Now, I'll be honest with you, I never set out on purpose to upset my child. I never thought, well, okay, today we're going to make them unhappy. Now, they may have thought it at one time or another, but I never did intentionally do that. Never set out to think, hey, this is the day that they're just not going to be happy. But I'll say this. I never refrained from demanding right from them from fear of displeasing them. We were in the van going Christmas caroling, and brother Charles was sitting in the front seat across from me there, and we were talking, and he was talking about something. He said his dad could take care of it. He said, I never liked it, but he could do it. I never liked it. It displeased him, you know, all right? Hey, I never refrained from doing anything for my kids. And by the way, I want to tell you this. I do the same thing with my grandkids. Same thing with my grandkids. I don't want to raise a bunch. I don't want to have a bunch of little grandkids that are a bunch of little heathens and running around causing all kinds of problems and being a pain in the neck. I'm not happy. I didn't want spoiled children. I don't want spoiled grandkids. I know the famous slogan is, hey, well, grandkids are so wonderful, they can come over and you can spoil them and then send them home. I don't want to do that because when they come back, they're still going to be spoiled. I don't want them to be that way. I don't want them to be that way whatsoever. I want them to realize every now and then life may displease them. Now, the Bible said, especially the Bible tells fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, you ought not to set out to make them mad, but that doesn't mean you can't displease them. To provoke your child to wrath, the idea, the whole theme right there is on purpose. On purpose. I've seen some parents do things in years gone by where I knew when they did it, and they did it on purpose, and they knew they were going to make their child mad. Hey, I'll tell you, that's wrong. That's wrong. You ought not to do that. But you should never worry about, well, this will displease Junior or Juniorette. It's okay if they're displeased. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't remember when I was a little kid, I don't remember saying to my brother, man, how long you reckon it's going to be before Mom and Dad call us in? I'm getting tired of being out here playing. We never had that conversation. There were numerous times when they'd call us in and it was, man alive, I don't want to, it did not please me. But I tried not to let them know it didn't please me. All right? Hey, because it was all right. It's okay if I was displeased. Hey, it's okay if any child, every child needs to be displeased from time to time. Because every one of you adults are going to be displeased from time to time. Now, the way you learn to react to that as an adult is how you learn to react to it as a child. Hey, you want to raise a rebel? Never displease them. Second thing, never deny them. Never deny them. See, there's too many parents in our day that don't know what it is to say no to their child. They seem to have the idea that the secret to their method of child rearing is indulge them. You want it? Sure. Go ahead. No problem. We never say no. Little two-letter word. How hard is it to pronounce? No. No. And you know what? I never remember ever having to explain that to a child. What do you mean, no? They know what no means. Now, I've told some no, and they act like, what? But it's okay. They need to know that word, all right? Man, here's the problem. The word no just reeks of negativity. Man, how negative can you get? And you just, no. And we live in a day of positivity. Everybody wants positive reinforcement. Everybody wants to encourage and to say something good. And everything is supposed to be positive and above board and just positive reinforcement. But every now and then, somebody needs to say no. Yeah, well, how about this? No. Can I go here? No. Can I do this? No. And it's a good word. It's a good word. Nothing wrong with that word. But you want to raise a rebel? Never deny them. Never deny anything, all right? Look, I believe children need to hear the word no. And especially they need to hear it from parents that mean it. That mean it. You said, what do you mean by that? I mean, don't say no and then enter into negotiation. No is not a negotiated statement, all right? No means no. It just means no. You know, we'll negotiate so it'll make it a little more bearable. No, just no. Just no. Don't do that. Stop. No. Quit. We hear that word now. Didn't you hear it a lot when you were coming up? You heard that word. It was spoken to you. That word's a good word. Kids need to know what it means. And they need to hear it and hear it. And when they hear it, they go, okay. Now, if they're disappointed, that won't kill them. No child's ever been killed by disappointment. All right? It just doesn't happen. And we need to teach them that word. That word no means no. I remember I've told you about when my kids, I'd take them out, and I intentionally, they learned real early in life, if we're in Walmart or the grocery store or anywhere else, if they ask, you know, those counters where all that stuff is right at kids' height, and every child says, can I have this? My kids learned pretty quickly that they might as well not ask, because the answer was always going to be no. Not so much because I didn't want them to have it. I wanted them to know what the word no meant. And I wanted that to be plain to them. I wanted that. It's important that they know. And to be able to take it without throwing a fit. My kids never got in the floor and kicked and screamed. Well, sometimes they did, but it was because I was on top of them. And, you know, we were having a good time. But, you know, just going to it. But, hey, not because somebody said no. No. You said, preacher, you can't do that. You can. We're going to talk about how you do it a little bit later, all right? You can deny them. They need to be denied. They need to hear the word no and know that you mean it. It needs to come across that way. No, that's it. No. My grandkids come to my house and we have peanut M&Ms because that's right under manna from heaven, all right? And we have peanut M&Ms and they'll come and say, can I have some peanut M&Ms? And I'm glad they come and ask. You say, what's the answer? The answer is usually, sure. Sure. I'll give you some. But they've learned to ask, okay? They've learned to ask. Now, usually they say, I'll give them so many. Can I have some more? Can I have some more? Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. And I'll say this. I'll give them this when they hear no. I've not heard whining and complaining. They take it. It's good. Not because I'm perfect and not because I'm the greatest person, but because they've learned that it's a waste of time to try to argue. It's not negotiating time. It's not negotiating time. Look, you want to raise a rebel, you never displease them, you never deny them, and thirdly, you never discipline them. You never discipline them. Now, here's our problem. When we hear the word discipline, what do we think? Punishment. We think punishment. And I say this to you, discipline, that's only part, and it's not the main part. Discipline, if you look it up, discipline is to train or develop by instruction and exercise, especially in self-control. That's what discipline is. That's what discipline is. It's to train or develop by instruction and exercise, especially in the matter of self-control. That's what's involved, okay? And that's what's missing. Hey, you remember what the Bible said in Proverbs? The Bible does not say, beat up your child. The Bible says, train up your child in the way that he should go. Train him. Now, we don't train him. The reason we don't train him is we're too busy. We're too busy. We've got too many irons in the fire. We work too many hours. Everybody's working. Everybody's trying to make a lot of money. There's no time in life when you get home. You don't feel like training. You don't feel like taking that time and using it. And you say, watch TV, play a video game, just leave me alone. You miss your chance. You miss your chance to discipline your child. Hey, the parents that don't train their child to control themselves are the ones that have out of control children. So why are they out of control? Because they haven't been trained to control themselves. I was, as a child, I was taught to control myself. And there was training, all right? There was instruction. And, you've heard me talk about, my dad did not worry about using the belt. He did not refrain from spanking, or as somebody would say, a whooping, all right? He didn't refrain from that. But the first thing he did was not always, get the belt! But there was some time spent that he trained. Now, there was never a session where he said, all right, boys, come here and sit down, and I'm going to tell you we're going to have a training spell here. Now, hey, it's okay if you do it that way. It's okay. Dad never did it that way. But we were trained because he would take a time, and if we did something wrong, he would take the time to say, now, listen, you can't do that. And don't do that. Sometimes he'd tell us a reason why. Sometimes the reason was simply because I said don't do it. And by the way, that's a great reason. That is a great reason. Just don't do it. And there was training administered, and there was exercise put into it. We were reminded of it. And then occasionally, when we would learn the lesson good, there was that punishment that came as part of the training. But you need to spend time. You cannot train your child without spending time with your child. You cannot do it. Man, it's impossible to do that. You ought to take the time to train your children. And you can do it when you're in the car. If you'll turn off the videos and turn off anything else, you can do it driving down the road. Every now and then, hey, if you're driving down the road and you see some wino that's drunk and weaving, you ought to say, hey, kids, look up here right now, look. See that fellow right there? He's that way because of his sin. That's why he's in that position. Take that time. Point it out. Hey, that's why that happened. That's a little training session. Now, they didn't know they were in school, okay? But you've got a little bit of time to put into it. And remind them about that. You know, spend time with your kids. Don't act like, well, they're going to take care of themselves. They will raise. If you allow the television set to raise them, they'll never be disciplined. Especially in this world, we mock Leave It to Beaver today. We mock those things. We mock those old shows like Andy Griffith that had some principles and did have some principles they stood for and they pointed out. Today, those are made fun of. But I'll tell you what, we don't have that kind of stuff, and that's why we got a bunch of kids that are raised that are smart mouths. And you know, they're wise guys, and they think they can smart off to everybody and everything. Hey, why? They've never been trained. They've been allowed to sit and watch everything, and they think that's the way it ought to be. Hey, look, you've got a job. You want to raise a rebel, never discipline. Now, discipline involves training. It involves time spent. Now, it does involve punishment. If there's no consequences to improper conduct, then improper conduct will be repeated again and again and again. You know, if there's not some consequence to an improper action, they'll keep doing it. Hey, look, that's the reason we got folks that are willing to riot in the streets and bash in windows, set fire to things, turn vehicles over, set fire to them, because they get away with it and there's no consequence to the action. No consequence to the action. And that's why we've got folks now, boy, I know people a bit hot in this day, but that's why we got consequence when a policeman says stop and somebody says, hey, I ain't never been denied in my life. I'll do what I want. I'm not going to do what you say. When that person gets shot, I don't feel like it's the policeman's fault. Hey, I'm an old man. I've lived a long time, but if the policeman tells me don't, I'm not going to do it. If he says you keep your hands where I can see them, he's going to be looking at both of them. I said, where do you want them put? Hey, why? Because he's the authority. He's the authority. That's a good thing. You said there's bad policemen. There are a few. There's bad Walmart managers, too. You don't quit going to Walmart. Hey, there's bad everything. There's lousy preachers. There's lousy pastors, but you shouldn't quit going to church. Because some few do some bad things, shouldn't do it. Hey, but look, improper conduct needs to have consequences. Look in Proverbs 29, would you? Proverbs chapter 29. We kind of get this idea that everything's all right. No. You want to raise a rebel, you never discipline. You let a child grow up to think there's no consequences to anything that I do, and you'll find out there's a problem, all right? Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Hey, listen, how many times have you seen a mom weeping on television, on the newscast, because they've heard that their child has maybe been killed by a police officer. Something's gone wrong. They've lost their life, and that mom, and they've been involved in evil and wickedness. Hey, a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. That's in the Word of God. It's true. David's children brought shame upon him. They brought shame upon him because of what they did, because of the way they acted. They brought shame upon him, all right? Why? He didn't do a good job as a parent. He didn't do a good job. He never displeased Adonijah. I've got a feeling he didn't deny him often, and I don't think there was much discipline given from David. You said he was the king. Doesn't matter. They're your kids. They're your kids. I realize we live in a day of confusion and homes or life is complicated, but they're your children. They need input from you. They need input from you. They need some discipline from you. You ought not, hey, I believe in the church, but you ought not to bring your child to church and say, all right, teach Sunday school teachers, y'all teach him all about the Bible and how to live. Preacher, that's your job. No, we're to help you do that job, but it's your job too. It's your job too. You're to help train your children on what God expects out of them. You're to be involved in that. Hey, that training is important. The displeasing, you don't set out to do it, but you're not afraid to do it. You ought to deny them some things. So if you want to raise that rebel, never displease them, never deny them, never discipline them. And number four, never demand anything of them. If you really want to mess up a child, never make any demands of them. You said, what do you mean? I mean, you know, little things like cleaning their room, picking up their clothes, making the bed, helping out around the house, chores. Man, there's some kids, they'd be grabbing their chest right now. Ah! Hey, those things are good. Showing respect to you and all other adults. You know, you want to mess your child up, never make any demands of them. Just, hey, go on your way. Go on your way. Every dad ought to try to teach what he knows to his child. You ought to try to teach and give them that. Every mom ought to try to teach what she knows and her skills to her child. You may never use them, but you may. It's good to know it. I taught my son everything I know about mechanics. Everything. I opened the hood and I said, that's the motor. That thing right there is the battery. Those two wires that go to them is the cable. If you don't put the right one on the right place, you'll wish you had them. And I was through with that lesson, all right? No, it wasn't that. It was said, that's the dipstick. You need to check the oil. You need to make sure you got oil in the engine. That's the radiator. It takes the coolant. Make sure there's something in there. You'll wish you had them. I was done. That's all I know about mechanics, all right? I'm no mechanic, but I tried to teach him, all right, what I could. Tried to teach him what I could. I tried to demand something out of them. We tried to teach our kids to work. We tried to teach our children to work. We've got a family in our Christian school. We've had numbers of their kids graduate. They had a lot of kids. And the one thing I especially admire about that family, they've taught their children to work. They have taught their children to work. They're all working. They don't mind working. They don't shy away from working. Two of them are in school now. They're twins, and they both just got a job recently. One of them's working at a place, a coffee shop, and the other one's working at a place that cooks, you know, food, and I really like what they serve there. I said, hey, is there any chance you can get me a discount? He said, no. I said, you failed. I'm sorry, buddy. You're done. Now, the one that works in the coffee shop, I'm not interested in anything they've got going, all right? But, hey, I'm just glad their parents taught them to work. Teach them to work. Hey, you ought to demand some things. Demand chores out of your kids. Teach them those things. They know how to do it. Folding the clothes, you know, trash in and out. Whatever it is, demand that of them. Make them clean their room. If you don't make your bed, keep your door shut, but make them make their bed. It's good for them, all right? You ought to do that. I think I've mentioned to you before, I remember my wife and my son, he was just a little fella, and she'd say, you need to make your bed. I'm thinking to myself, he's not big enough to make the bed. But I had the great wisdom to keep my mouth shut. He was, and he was taught, and he did it, all right? Hey, demand things. We live in a day a lot of times now where both parents work. My brother and I, when we were, especially when we were in Florida, my mom and dad both had to work. Dad's pastor of church. My mom had to work so we could keep eating. And she was working a job. And we had the jobs at home. The house was split up. Every one of us had rooms we vacuumed, and we did the dishes. He was the dishwasher. I was the rinser and the dryer, okay? I mean, we did those jobs, all right? We had five mango trees, seven oak trees. Son, you talk about leaves. We had leaves. And unfortunately, nobody had ever invented that I knew of anything called a mulching lawnmower. So that means all those leaves had to be raked. Guess whose job that was? It was ours. Child labor. We never got over it. We were warped. But Dad, they demanded some things of us. Look, your children need that. Your grandchildren need that. They come over to the house. Now, I don't know how your grandkids are. I can tell you how mine are. Everything, it looks like something exploded in the den. There's stuff everywhere. Then we go into the living room. We think, how did it get in here? It's everywhere. Well, we try to demand of them, hey, pick it up. Put it up. You said, oh, Grandpa. Grandpa, nothing. Hey, they put it out. They can pick it up. Demand some things of them, all right? Demand some things. Hey, but you want to raise a rebel. Don't do that. Just sort of suggest things. And then try to reason with them to get them to want to do it. Now, I hope you realize that was totally sarcastic. All right? I'm not serious about that. There ought to be some demands made. Look, it was no accident. It was no accident. No accident whatsoever that David's son, Amnon, raped his sister. That was no accident. It was no accident that Absalom led a rebellion against his dad. It was no accident. It was no accident that Absalom saw to it that his brother Amnon got killed for what he did to his sister. It was no accident that Adonijah did what he did here in 1 Kings chapter 1. No accident. Why? David did a lousy job as a parent. He did a lousy job as a parent. Take your Bible with me tonight. Let's go to the book of Proverbs again, all right? You're there, maybe you're still there. Proverbs chapter 13. I want to read a couple of verses. We're going to be done tonight. Proverbs chapter 13. Would you look in verse 24? The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now you hold on to that thought, then look in Proverbs 29. Look in Proverbs 29:17. Proverbs 29:17. The Bible says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. I'm careful about what I'm about to say now, because I feel like in many ways I failed as a parent. But I tell you, it's a delight to your soul when your kids do right. It's such a delight. It is such a delight when they will do right. You have to take some time. You don't displease your child, deny your child, discipline your child, and demand things of your child. They'll grow up thinking everybody ought to treat them that way. You see videos, you can see videos on YouTube that people have made. I don't know how they find them or do them or whatever, but they put them up of people that think they're entitled to do anything and everything they want. They act like a policeman cannot tell them no. They want to argue with the police about the law. Look, I look at somebody like that and I think somebody failed them as a parent. Hey, they'll think everybody ought to cater to them. They'll never be able to hold a job. They will never make a good husband or a wife. They're not going to be happy in life. The police officer is going to demand some things. The boss is going to command some things and deny some things. I could just go on and on and on. And the reason we have the mess we do today is because so many parents have failed their child. They've totally failed their children. I'm just pleading with you not to let that happen. If you are a grandparent, work with your children to help their children, your grandchildren. You said, they won't do anything. They won't back me up. Then it's all in your lap. You've got to take it. You've got to train them. When they're in your presence, you ought to work at it. You ought to work at it. I don't think you ought to let your child face an unhappy future by raising a rebel. Rebels aren't happy people. There's no happiness there. Now, I'll be honest with you. What I'm saying tonight, I know is a difficult thing, and I'm not saying you're going to have instantaneous results, but you've got to work at it, and there is one word that you need to stamp on the wall everywhere, put it on your mirror, and that word is consistency. Because you can't do it one day a week. It's got to be 7 days a week. You can't do it just in the morning or just in the evening. It's got to be all day. There's got to be a consistency about it. I grew up with parents. I thank God for them that were good disciplinarians. They taught us. They trained us. And they instilled in us some great values, all right, but they were consistent in the doing of it. They were consistent. It was all the time. There was never, okay, we're taking the day off. Now, I'll tell you, as a parent in this day, when you're working at these things, there's going to be a day you're going to say, man, I'm so tired. But you need to think about the importance of what you're doing. You need to think about, hey, this is my child's future. This is, I don't know about you, but I wanted my kids to grow up. I want them to be happy in life. I want them to do all that. And when they moved out, I didn't want them to come back. So we taught them some things. All right? You said, you mean if they needed to come back, you wouldn't let them? I didn't say that, did I? But I didn't want them to need to. I didn't want them to have to do that. You know, I wanted them to be out and have that happy life and be able to do it, but they had to be trained. You've got to do that if your children are going to make a success in life. They've got to be realized, you know what, they're going to be displeased every now and then. They're not always going to be happy with what somebody tells them. somebody down the line is going to deny them what they want. They're going to be denied. Hey, if they mess up big enough, they'll be stuck in this place where there is instantaneous, constant discipline. It's called a prison. Things will be demanded of them every day. Hey, you train them. You teach them. You take the time. You say, man, I've messed up. It's too late. No, it's not. You say, but my kids are grown. Have you ever thought about going to them, looking them in the eye and say, I just want to be honest with you. I'm apologizing to you. I'm sorry. And I want you to forgive me. And when they say, for what? You said, for being a lousy parent. I didn't do the job I should have done. But I want to try to help you now as much as I can. Now, it'll be a much harder job. But I don't know how you feel about it. I think my kids are worth it. I do. I think my kids are worth that. They need some help down the line. Fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to realize, hey, you need to demand some things out of them. You need to discipline them. You need to be the trainer. Don't take them to school, drop them off there, and expect the school teacher to do it. That's not the school teacher's job. That school teacher's there to teach them how to read and write and know a little bit of geography and, a little bit of English and have a little bit of knowledge of science and that's their job. Their job is not to train them. They ought to come that way. When I went to school the first day, I knew how I better act. I knew how I'd better act. I did not worry about what the school teacher would do to me. I worried that somehow Dad would find out. I was a lot more concerned about what Dad would do than I was about what the teachers would do. My dad said, son, he told my brother and I both, you get a whipping at school, you'll get a whipping at home. That was his rule. Man, so I tried not to get a whipping. Once again, it wasn't what they were doing in class. It was what would happen when I got home. Said, you ever get a whipping? Once. I got one lick in school when I was in the 10th grade, 9th or 10th grade. So I told my dad about it after I graduated from college. Hey, man, you're not looking at an idiot, all right? I told him right up there. You know, I was right up front with him. Just took me a long time to remember to tell him, all right? Hey, I'm glad somebody realized it was okay if I was displeased. I'm glad I had parents that denied me some things. I'm glad I had parents that demanded some things out of me. I'm glad that I had parents that disciplined me. Look, that's your job, Dad, Mom. That's your job. Step up. Do the job that needs to be done. Do the job that needs to be done. Give it your best. I'll tell you this, raising kids, if you're doing it right, will keep you on your knees. You'll spend a lot of time praying. I don't know how many times that the kids, everybody's in bed. Dad was up and it was, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I need your help. Hey, it's okay. You give it your best. Your kids are worth it. Your grandkids are worth it. Do your best. Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for the word of God. Lord, what I've preached tonight, and as I think about David, the king, to me it's a very sad thing what happened with several of his children. Lord, I think about families in our church. I think about people I know and children I know. Lord, there's not a one of them that doesn't need to be disciplined. They need to be trained. They need to be taught. And Lord, I pray you'd just make us realize the importance of the job of a parent, of what they're to do and how they're to do it. And Lord, would you give us wisdom? Help us to pray and seek that wisdom from you of how to do it, and that we might do a good job, so we could raise kids that would be brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They'd serve you, and Lord, they'd be a pleasure and a joy to their parents. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, the invitation's open. I need thee every hour, page 370. Boy, it's important what we preached. You need to come. The altar's here. Would you come?